You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is Dead Queen Walking in the Castle Charming novella series. Chapter 7. This makes things awkward. It was dark in Fairyland and nothing made sense. Z was lost, untethered. Every time she took a step into the darkness, her stomach lurched badly. Someone grabbed her hand and she swung around to hit with the hardest part of her hand, but he caught that too. Z, it's me. Is that supposed to make me feel better? She did feel better at the sound of Zeolin's voice, but she resented it. What happened? I think the candle went out. That makes no sense. Why would the lights go out in all of Fairyland because of one candle? His hand tightened on hers. Z, are you saying you can't see? She blinked furiously into the darkness. Of course I can see. I can see the entire lack of light. Somewhere nearby, fairies giggled at her. His hand loosened on hers. Scared, Z grabbed out at him. Don't leave me. I don't want to. Zeolin's voice was distracted. But there's music. I can't hear any music. They want me to dance, Z. Don't let go, she begged, hating herself for feeling so weak. Don't dance, Zeolin. That's how they get you. I can't. There was a soft tapping sound and she realised it was his foot. Don't join the dance, Z said, squeezing his hand harder. Zeolin, I need you. A soft touch like a brotherly kiss brushed her temple. I'll be back. Just one dance. No. And he was gone. Here they were again, at yet another awkward dinner, in which Kai sat at a table designed for 20 people with Prince Chase and Prince Cyrus. Queen Ella was in attendance, but barely spoke. She pushed her soup around and asked occasional questions about their day. It was excruciating. Usually Zed was there to break up some of the tension, but of course he was in Fairyland. And Kai was only grateful that no one had questioned him about their guest's absence. The elder princes were clearly in the middle of some kind of best behaviour bet, because they smiled politely and lied happily about their day's activities. No one could possibly open as many local businesses, sponsor as many charities, or kiss as many babies as they claimed. Kai narrowed his eyes at them both, not knowing if he wanted to catch them out himself or watch Queen Ella call them on their bullshit. The new castle chamberlain entered the dining hall, looking nervous. There was always a new chamberlain, and they always looked nervous. Queen Ella had a habit of firing anyone who questioned the whereabouts of the king, or asked after Princess Camilla. This chamberlain, who was called something like Percival or Peregrine, was 22 years old, and until yesterday had been a footman. He had bright red hair and was clearly about 2 inches too tall for the official chamberlain's frock coat with pearl trim. Your Majesty, he said, stumbling over even the basic address. There's a delegation at the gates. Queen Ella tilted her head, like she was wondering how he would look kneeling at a guillotine. Boys, have any of you invited guests that I should know about? I mean, said Cyrus and shrugged. Our guests usually shin up the drainpipe, said Chase, as if he'd forgotten the pretend-to-be-a-perfect-prince game. Easier to smuggle the booze in that way. More discreet. Where's the delegation from? Asked Kai. They all stared at him like they'd forgotten he was there. Did he speak so rarely? Answer Prince Camden, said Queen Ella. They are a royal delegation from the Kingdom of Zix, Majesty, said Percival or Peregrine. Kai met Chase's gaze, and the two of them mouthed the same very unprincely word together. Ah, said Queen Ella, not unexpected." She rose to her feet. "Let us greet the family of Prince Xialin. Someone go to fetch him."
"I'll go," Kai said automatically. She rolled her eyes at him.
"You are not a footman, Camden. We have people for that."
"But do any of those people know where our Xixi's friend is to be found?" asked Chase, with a sly look at his newly discovered younger brother.
"Xialin!" Zi was lost in the darkness. Fairies were the worst, and fairy-dazzled stepbrothers were nearly as bad. "I'm going to eat your eyes when I see you next," she swore at him. It didn't help.
"Highness," said a hushed voice near her ear.
Zi jumped, her hand whirling about in a short jab that she pulled at the last moment. "Who's that?"
"My name is Master Iris."
He continued to speak quietly as if he wanted no one to hear. Still, there was a deepness to his voice, a melodious quality that she recognised.
"You're," she started to say, remembering Saladin Tay, the Sarge's old friend. Of course, he was one of them now, a fairy. He had followed Miss Clover into this world and refused to give her up. "I believe I told you my name," he said. "I am Master Iris now."
"They made you change it?"
"No one made me do anything."
"I can't see," she said wretchedly. "I can't. I think I've lost my path home."
"Have you eaten anything? Kissed anyone who belongs here?"
"No."
"Then it remains possible that you will find another path home. Keep it that way."
Zi felt something brush against her hand.
She held herself very still as the fairy formerly known as Saladin Tay pressed something very small into her palm. It felt like a nut or a dried pea.
"What?"
"I have given you nothing."
"Are fairies allowed to lie?"
"Fairies are allowed to do whatever they can get away with. You should know that by now."
She waited, but he said nothing more. After a long moment, she held up her palm and, for the first time in far too long, saw something other than darkness. A tiny bead of light glowed in her palm, illuminating the rest of Fairyland. She could see hanging fronds of tree branches around her and the shifting shapes of people dancing. Zi took a few steps, moving in the direction where her bead of light shone brightest. And then she saw him. Xialin, exiled Prince of Zix, had never been a darling of the court back home. He was rude to those he should flatter, and had a sharp streak in what he chose to say to his stepmothers and sisters. She saw a different side of him since his arrival at Castle Charming, and she was now convinced that for some reason he had been play-acting a cruel persona back home, especially around her. She had no idea why a king's stepson would choose to alienate the court instead of cultivating allies with a few honeyed words, when honeyed words clearly came easy to him. But she'd never asked, even now that she knew there was more to him than met the eye. His one great social advantage back home was that he was an excellent dancer. Aristocratic men of the island kingdom of Zix were expected to excel at dancing and music, just as women were expected to learn the art of close combat and weapon craft, all the better to be ornaments of the court. Xialin, for all his barbed comments and veiled insults, was much in demand at a ball. Ladies of the court were willing to overlook a great deal of rudeness for a dance partner who made them look good and knew the difference between a three-spin and a promenade twirl. None of which explained why he was currently dancing like a deranged octopus with too many arms. Zi peered through the near darkness at the utter spectacle her stepbrother was making of himself, surrounded by delighted and admiring fairy people of many apparent genders. She almost didn't want to stop him. Then one fairy leaned in to brush their mouth to his. Zi threw herself forward with a yell
arrowing through bodies until she was there between Xeolin and the fairy, attempting to claim a kiss. "We need to go home," she yelled in his face. "You spoil all my fun," he yelled back, eyes glazed over. "This is the first magical otherworld where no one's trying to kill me." Zi looked around wildly, holding up her bead of light to see an ocean of unfriendly faces. Did fairies always have that many teeth? "I think you're drastically misreading this situation." They had to return to Castle Charming now, without asking for a wish or a favour from any more fairies. Zi did not want to spend the rest of her life as one of these fruit-eating, wild-dancing creatures. There was nothing about her interaction with Saladin Tay / Master Iris that made her think he was happy in his new life. "We have to run," she begged Xeolin, "and no kissing." "Belonged here," she remembered suddenly. "No kissing anyone who belonged here. What if you kissed someone who did not belong? Was that a loophole?" "Where do we even?" Xeolin started to complain at her, and she shut him up with a, well, it was a kiss, probably one of the least appealing kisses of her life. He stared at her in shock as she pulled her mouth back from him hastily. Bright sunlight streamed through the window of a familiar corridor high up in the castle. Human sunlight, human corridor, home for a given value of home. Castle Charming. Xeolin was still staring at her, now with more horror than shock. "Why would you..." She wiped her mouth with the back of her hand. "Fairy rules don't always make sense, and they change all the time. If you listen carefully, there's always a loophole." Zi still had the small glowing seed in her hand, and shoved it now in the pocket of her trousers. "Did there have to be kissing? I didn't enjoy it. I should hope not." "Here you are," said a voice, breaking into their argument. Zi and Xeolin quickly stepped back even further from each other. "Hey," said Zi, not meeting Dennis's gaze. "We were worried. How'd you get back?" "Loophole," said Zi, at the same time that Xeolin said, "Don't ask." "Okay," said Dennis slowly. "Thing is, there's a situation downstairs, and we need you. Prince you, not actually both of you. Come to think of it." "Words," said Zi. "More words. Get on with it." Dennis took a deep breath and went unexpectedly formal. "Prince Xeolin, your family have arrived at the castle to visit you. Now I come to think of it, this definitely is a both of you situation." He gave Zi an apologetic smile. Zi shared a horrified look with Xeolin. "Which family members?" she whispered. "How many?" asked Xeolin, speaking over the top of her. "Do they look angry? Are they dressed in formal silks? Are there any white flowers or very sharp swords in their retinue?" Dennis held up both hands. "How about you both come see for yourselves?" "No," Zi thought wildly. "No, no, no." "Yep," said Xeolin, bracing himself. "Come on, Zi Shedsa. What's the worst that can happen?" Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week. Thank you.